Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 353. As this week, we bring you the conclusion of WWE Great American Bash 2004. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil, joined by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, Jim Valley. Jim, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 2004, and enjoy a tale from the concrete crypt?
You know, between Luther Reigns and Mordecai, and, you know, so far, this pay-per-view has been a who's who of who was that. So yeah. I'm finally happy to get to the meat of the situation here in the main two matches.
Yes, I think that'll be very nice. Again, thank you, people. By the way, check the charts for this past week. We are up again among leisure podcasts globally. So I'm glad that you're enjoying your leisure with us. And again, want to direct your attention over to patreon.com/waybackplayback, where you can find all the shows and get the shows before you can hear them on the live podcast feed and get them ad free. Go to patreon.com/waybackplayback. And we thank you all for that. And after this, we'll try to pick out a nice wrestling show that we can all watch for Father's Day. I think that'll be yes, I think that'll be great. But Jim is going out of town for his birthday this coming week, and so we're either going to I don't know what to do. We're either going to take one of the bonus shows and just that we do for Patreon and repurpose it, or find a guest host. And I just like to alert all our usual guest hosts to be ready for the text message from me.
Because don't answer your phones.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm telling everybody.
Okay. Just like WWE.
Yes, when WWE calls, don't answer your phones.
Yeah.
Exactly. On a Black Wednesday. I guess it's exactly. Well, there you go. Unless he gets a call back this week, we just don't know. All right, reviews of the show. there was some dispute in 2004 between the many publications over which was the best match on the show. Dave Meltzer thought the Rey and Chavo match and the bull rope match both deserved 3.25 stars. Brian Alvarez said Rey and Chavo had the best match at 3.5 stars. Wade Keller said the bull rope match was the best match at 3.25 stars. So your mileage may vary. And we're going to see the bull rope match next. So you can decide what you want. I think it's just a matter of personal preference there.
Yeah, I would agree.
As for worst match, let's see. According to Dave Meltzer, both the Billy Gunn match and the Torrey versus Sable match get -1 star. Brian Alvarez thought the Concrete Crypt match was the worst and wrote, there aren't enough negative stars to do this justice, which, I'm going to say he had a point there. And Wade Keller thought that Billy Gunn and Kenzo Suzuki was the worst match and gave it a dud.
I think those are all valid points.
Yeah, there are no wrong points. Let's see. I actually, not only did I review the show, I came up with my... Every so often I did like an alternative fantasy booking of the show. And I did one where since Vince wasn't there, Paul Heyman and Shane McMahon took over the show. Paul Heyman talked Shane McMahon into changing around the show and making it better. Although I don't know how much better it actually would have been, but you wouldn't have had that Concrete Crypt match. Probably wouldn't have. Yeah. And I believe I decided to book Mordecai against Shane McMahon in a street fight so that Shane could finish Mordecai off. Silly stuff like that.
How can you argue? I mean,
also decided to have Undertaker accept Paul Bearer's offer and put Bruce Pritchard as Brother Love in the Concrete Crypt.
So you wanted the happy ending?
Yes, that's what I was going for.
I'm joking. I like Bruce a lot. That is totally.
I'm glad you like Bruce a lot. But
that's a joke. That is a joke.
Yes, it was definitely comedy. I wrote that they should have the Undertaker end up wrestling Rikishi, having no idea how in the doghouse Rikishi was with management at the time. Apparently, Rikishi, had decided he was injured. He decided to have surgery to extended his time off, which the office wasn't pleased about. And then while he was too injured to work for WWE, he worked an indie show for Offa. So yeah. they were mad enough to spit at him, and I don't think he lasted much longer after that.
Well, this was the time probably he's an old school guy, he'd been around a long time. And he probably didn't realize that people were going to find out. He probably thought that he could get away with it, like you could have in the old days. But
yeah,
the internet was everywhere in 2000.
Yeah, yeah, and years after that too.
Yeah, agreed. That's what I hear.
Okay, so anyway, I don't know if I'm going to redo my entire review of the show, but I gave the show a 2.5 after 10 out of 10 total, which was the highest score that any Torch columnist gave it, by the way.
Well, you're a nice guy.
I am a nice guy, yes. Let's see.
How do we do this, though? Let's pretend at the end of this, I'm watching this, the end of this, that you've got to do a similar number for the Torch, and let's decide if you were where you had waited today, if you were nice or hard on the Great American Bash 2004.
I think part of the reason I was hard on it was because this was 2004 and people were paying full price for pay-per-views.
It's true.
Yeah. Okay. All right, and because it was 2004, I wrote, after seeing Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, I wish I had a device like Jim Carrey did so I could go back and explain, erase unpleasant memories like this one.
Wow, you're really up on the show.
Yep. All right. I'm down on the show, but you should, I mean, if you want to go back in the Torch, in the Torch and read what everybody else wrote about it, I was, you know, I was the optimist, I guess. All right, Jim, quick update on the Patreon at patreon.com/waybackplayback. Obviously, we've got all 352 episodes up there for your pleasure, as those of you who are enjoying the show. That includes everything that we've done from when we were behind the paywall. That's, almost 7 years of us doing shows.
Incredible.
Absolutely, and it's all there on our Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. Plus, you get these shows without commercials in them. Commercials like this very one, for example. Plus, you get these shows in advance of when they go up on our ordinary podcast network, on the Creative Control Network. And if you sign up for the Black Scorpion tier, you get bonus matches and bonus shows that are not part of the regular episode, including a show that Jim and I have been working on now, a bonus show from September of 1993 covering WCW Saturday Night, of all things.
It's a great show. It's really fun.
Yes. Yeah, so we're having fun. We want you to join us. It's patreon.com/waybackplayback, and everything's on there is simple. Email us with questions, and we'll be glad to help you with anything you want. We're absolutely available for we're absolutely available to change the entire Patreon for people who make payments.
Absolutely, whatever you need.
That's right. Well, and you can meet Michael Saget. That'll be great.
We'll stand on our head to make you a deal.
That's true. We'll accept all reasonable offers. Patreon.com/waybackplayback. All right, so we are at, make sure I got this right, 1 hour 43 minutes and 48 seconds, and I've got the logo starting up, the white logo with red stripes going for it's going to be the moving logo for the title match. Are you more or less there?
I'm more or less there.
Okay, so if everybody would more or less hit play, get there and hit play in 3, 2, 1. All right, moving logo time. And it's a bull rope match. Look at that! Look at that smiling John Bradshaw Layfield, who had just been fired from CNBC, by the way.
Yes. For doing the Hitler salute in Germany.
Yes.
And the goose stepping in Germany.
Yes, apparently, even though it happened in Germany, people in the United States still found out about it.
Yeah.
But WWE decided not to punish him any further because, you know, after CNBC fired him, they thought it was unnecessary. Yeah.
And probably because they said, they probably actually thought it's just wrestling. And
yeah, they think that a lot. Okay, so this is back at Judgment Day, I want to say.
Yeah, this is Judgment
Day. Judgment Day 2004.
It's a bloody match, those chair
bloody
shots.
Bloody violent match, yes.
Oh my God, those chair shots.
Brutal.
That is a glorious image of Eddie Guerrero with the blood everywhere.
Ooh, there we go. Yep. So Eddie gets DQ'd after whacking with the belt. Mm-hmm. Kurt Angle grants JBL a rematch for the Great American Bash. And JBL chooses a bull rope match because he's a Texan.
That's right. You know when the first bull rope match was?
When's that?
I believe it was 77. Hmm. Dusty Rhodes invented it. Dusty Rhodes. They needed something for superstar Billy Graham and Dusty Rhodes to come back with.
Ah.
And that was the first bull rope match I won in Madison Square Garden.
Okay. I you'd think that some other, you know, oh, Eddie Guerrero in the Eddie Guerrero's driving the limo. Oh no, what could possibly happen now?
Right.
Okay. Okay. Okay, oh my goodness, he wrecked the limo and mangled the limo. Oh no. Wow. Poor JBL. I don't know what the deductible was for that limo, but
guess you know, when I called Uber, I specifically said, no Eddie Guerrero, I'm feuding with.
Yes, that's right.
They still gave me Eddie Guerrero.
They still did.
Stupid ride chairs.
Oh, no. Yep, so they, so yeah, they brawled and brawled. So they spent several weeks doing this on SmackDown, setting up this match. Eddie wants the title. JBL wants his hands on it. And I think, yeah, here we go. Oh, hold on a moment. Okay. All right. Tony Chimmel is going to explain this. Mm-hmm. Okay. The same rules to every bull rope match ever, except they have indicator lights on each turnbuckle.
So it's just like a strap match or chain match or whatever.
Yep.
And that's the four corners.
It's the same finish every time.
They haven't had one of these in a long time. I'm surprised.
No, they haven't.
We're due for one, like a strap match or some sort of four corners match.
Yeah. I mean, well, Roman Reigns, you think that'd be natural.
Like a Samoan strap match.
Yeah.
Yes, a Samoan strap match.
Oh, the Caribbean, well, or Savio Vega's Caribbean strap match.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay, now if you voluntarily remove the bull rope from yourself, you forfeit the match. Please explain that. So that cannot be done. All right, and here comes JBL. Outstanding Jim Johnston theme music as JBL is getting ready to ride into the big valley. Yeah.
I liked playing JBL on the video games because he came out. He had the limousine in the WWE video game. It's cool.
Yes, it's a nice entrance.
Yeah, it's a cool entrance.
I mean, everybody should have a little something for their entrance, and there it is. And JBL can go from being arrogant, blowhard, to sniveling coward pretty well. You always have to give him that. Okay. JBL did not receive a hero's welcome in Norfolk, Virginia? Nah.
They not like Texans in Virginia or something?
I think they just didn't like JBL.
Oh, okay.
Right.
You know, it's funny, I grew up, my stepdad was Mexican, I told you, he's from Mexico.
Right.
That's how I got into wrestling. And so when I see that white cowboy hat, I associate that with Mexicans.
Okay.
Because they all wore white cowboy hats like that.
Okay. Texans don't wear white cowboy hats?
I'm sure they do, but I'm just saying I associate it with Mexicans. Just funny.
Right. What about the the tilting body vehicles here. Is that's associated with Mexico or?
I don't know. The Mexicans I hung out with didn't have cars.
Well, I could tell. Well, this one did get its Virginia inspection sticker. So.
Well, that's what matters.
That is the important thing. Yay.
That's more of an LA thing or what? I don't know.
I'm guessing. I don't know.
The funny thing about Eddie Guerrero, and I've mentioned this before, but it's like, he's American.
Mm-hmm.
And in America, he plays Mexican. Right. And when he was in Mexico, he teamed with Art Barr as an American tag team. And they were American.
It's just brilliant.
It's like, there's no country for Eddie Guerrero.
No. Yeah.
There is, but it's just funny how he did.
But really, I mean, it's two guys from Texas.
Yeah, it
is. Yeah. All right, there's referee Nick Patrick. Here we go. I was halfway expecting JBL to start doing the black glove gimmick, the Blackjack, or, well, he was a Blackjack. You know, like Barry Windham had for a while.
Like to punch with or to claw hold with or what?
Punch, claw, yeah. I mean, you can do either one.
I don't know that Vince was big on the claw. It's like he never even had let Kerry Von Erich do it as a finish. So
no,
I don't think Vince likes the claw.
He might not like the claw.
That's my impression, because, like...
Well, I mean, he let Mick Foley do it to the testicles of Pat Patterson and Jerry Briscoe, but other than that's different.
Testicles in the mouth, yeah. What'd you think of that title belt?
That's a nice one.
You liked it? It's liked okay.
It. Yeah.
It's fine with me. It's like a C for me, like a middle belt. Hmm. It's not my least favorite. It's not my favorite. It's fine.
You're holding out for the spinner belt?
The spinner belt's not for me. The spinner belt's below that.
Okay. All right, here we go. We got a bull rope. We got a bell. Annie loves Cena. I don't know why that's up here.
Everybody loves Cena. Of course, she might be Spanish. It could be that Annie loves dinner.
That's true.
She could be saying that. She might be. She might be Spanish.
It's possible. Es posible, sí.
Sí.
Yep, there we go. Oh. Okay. All right, and there we go. One. He didn't touch a corner? I guess not.
Guess not.
No.
I will say this. You know, WWE is really good at... Only WWE would put up indicator lights for a match to make it easier to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And give them credit for that.
Yep. I guess if they do it again, they could probably use the indicator lights again.
I think they've used indicator lights before. I want to see. There's different ones. I don't know. Of course, if the lighted up ring posts they have now, they could probably just use those.
Yeah, that would make it that would make it easier, wouldn't it?
I program those, yeah.
There we go. Okay. Yeah, this is a match where JBL is the bigger guy, should have the advantage. But, you know, I guess you could buy the Rob Van Dam, you know, giant thumbs to do the Rob Van Dam taunt.
Yes.
Okay. JBL, backbone for, I don't know.
Backbone of America.
Is he?
I guess so.
Sure. All right, so no pinfalls, no submission, just drag him around. There we go. One. Oh, JBL is the green light? Oh, so JBL touched the second. Did he really? You know, I guess he touched the second corner. Yeah, parts of that really weren't clear as to what constitutes breaking the momentum of the trip around the ring. You'd think the backdrop would do it. No, nope, there we go. It's Eddie's turn.
Yeah, once you're on the ground, I thought it broke the...
Okay, there's two. Okay, there's Eddie. He's got two. Oops. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, this is the interesting dynamic here where, you know, JBL is obviously bigger.
Yeah.
And Eddie grows smaller. It's like, yeah, with the tug of war, what does that play into it, the size? Play right. Into it?
Well, let's see. I mean, it makes Eddie even more the underdog.
Yeah.
Obviously.
God, Eddie was great.
Oh, yeah.
God, he was great.
He was.
It's really too bad he was took everything so personally.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It's like, there's really nothing he could have done. Yeah. Business was what business was, and it's like...
Right.
It's entirely possible that, you know, he was so great had he lived... Yeah. He might have caught on as far as...
Oh, I mean, they were about to go back to him, you know, when he passed away. So, yeah. But, I mean, at the time, you know, I mean, and I talked about this on a couple times when Johnny Fairplay filled in to you. Eddie had gone on and off the wagon a few times, and there were concerns about that. You also have to remember, you know, looking back at this, I think Eddie was destined to lose the belt, probably, and they were probably figuring that Kurt Angle would get it back, but Angle's injuries took longer than they thought to heal. But I mean, you know, whether Angle won it from Eddie or JBL won it from Eddie, they were eventually going to go to John Cena at WrestleMania 21, and they did.
Oh yeah, of course, yes. Yeah.
You know, and like you said, I don't think any, you know, I don't think there's any, I don't think there's much Eddie could have done to change that.
No, but had Eddie lived, I think he would have been an even bigger star. I think eventually, at some point, he would have driven business to a degree, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, he would have gotten the title back from Batista, and they could have kept that feud going. And, yeah, I mean, he would have been, you know, would have been a guy that, you know, they probably would have gone back to, and he would have been a potential main eventer, you know, for years to come. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it takes time for the public to catch on to things.
Right.
And I think Eddie is so good that over time, a larger section would have caught on.
Mm-hmm. I think people knew how good Eddie was. Part of the deal with part of the reason they went to Eddie is Paul Heyman was looking at the quarterly numbers and quarter hour numbers and every time Ray and Eddie were on SmackDown, the numbers would spike, especially with the Hispanic audience.
Yeah,
it didn't take
I don't understand that. Yeah, why there's not a Hispanic star.
Mm-hmm. And they're not good at, you know, they're not good at creating their own, and they, you know, and they don't always pick the best ones, you know, out of what they have. I mean, they had something in Andrade, and, you know, just decided he's not it.
I think they've got something with Humberto Carrillo.
Yeah.
I think they could have had something with Grand Metalik,
mm-hmm.
but it is what it is.
I mean, they've had a, you know, I mean, they've had a Hispanic guy on top for a good portion of the last few years, but he doesn't have a Hispanic gimmick. His gimmick is that he's Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
And I mean, I agree that, you know, you want, I mean, you don't want, you know, you don't want to want him to be an ethnic star. You want, you know, you want somebody who's a star, but given, they don't book anybody well enough that they, you know, no matter what nationality they are.
Yeah, I know.
To overcome it.
With the exception of a very few people.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You're either a winner or you're a loser.
There we go. And I mean, probably what I ended up guessing getting was the most surprising thing out of it for me was finding out that, you know, JBL and Eddie, after working together for a while, became good friends, and, you know, and Eddie was in JBL's wedding.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. But I mean, but Eddie was friends with a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds, and that's wrestling, you know?
Yeah. And I'm sure to him doing all the border crossing stuff, I mean, they did that stuff as quote unquote Americans in Mexico.
Yeah. I mean, there was no hard feelings because of that between Eddie and JBL. I mean, yeah, because Eddie knew JBL wasn't writing this stuff.
And he'd done it before. Yeah. Like if you watch the Worlds Collide pay-per-view.
Oh yeah.
Eddie and Art Barr are mocking the audience by swimming. Like people are trying to swim across the river to be legal. You know, they're doing all of these things that, you know, it's, you know, Roddy Piper singing La Cucaracha. And I'm not defending any of it. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad that it's not a part of wrestling. I'm not saying it should be a part of it. But I'm saying that for Eddie, it was just wrestling. I'm sure it didn't bother him at all.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. And this time, and we're back to Eddie using the chair shot.
Oh, my God. The sound of that chair.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. Look at that kid's face.
And JBL blades. Yeah.
I hope that was a gimmick chair, because, man, that made a noise.
Well, I mean, I'll give them this. It doesn't look like a gimmick chair if it's...
No, it doesn't. Yeah. Remember you used to have that one white chair?
Yeah.
God, that was funny. That one plastic chair that didn't hold anything.
That does not look like a plastic chair.
No. That's probably...
And JBL's not a guy who, you know, for whatever you say about him, he's not a guy who wants to gimmick that stuff. I mean, it's a mistake. Probably got some headaches from it. Hopefully he didn't suffer any long-term effects of it. Yeah. 300. Yeah, I mean, okay, there you go. Oh. Very good. You have to do that just right.
Yeah. Well, and also, I think they didn't size these loops for the ropes very well, because it seems like Eddie's having a hard time staying inside the loop. Mm-hmm. They should have, I don't know, taped it up better or sized it.
Yeah, they should have. I mean, JBL looks like his, you know, his is taped up pretty well.
Yeah, it looks like, well, JBL's a bigger guy.
Right. Yep. Yep. So yeah, Nick Patrick waved off the lights probably because Eddie got knocked down. That's there we go. Okay. Two. Okay. Mm. Oh, Bradshaw guaranteed victory. That's right. I mean, it's kind of cute that they would play up that guaranteeing victory meant something. I mean, okay. Okay, now wait. Now, but Eddie didn't get knocked down that time. Why are they waving off the lights?
I don't know. Yeah. Nick Patrick made the call.
Okay.
I guess because they went in the ropes. I don't know.
Right. Okay, Guerrero Nick. I don't know who that. Oh. Okay. All right. Let's see. Okay. Here we go. And again, yeah, Vince McMahon is not backstage. I don't know which family member is running is producing Cole and Taz. I think Triple H is the one who does that if Vince isn't there, though. Even back then.
You know, this is a good match for one of these four corners matches, as far as, you know, they're not like doing it, trying to run every four corner, like every 30 seconds. It seemed like, particularly in Crockett, all those matches, the strap matches, chain matches and stuff. It was nothing but tug of war. It was annoying.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
One more. And this has really good psychology to it.
Right. Oh, here we go. Tres Amigos.
It's so cool. You know, they just had the A&E biography of Bret Hart.
Uh-huh.
And it's always cool when it's Bret or Eddie or whomever is able to overcome
yeah.
where you're slotted in WWE. That's always really cool.
Yes, I mean, especially it took. I mean, look how much of it his career it took Eddie to get to the top.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, and it didn't even happen. It didn't happen in WCW. He actually came to. I mean, he actually came in and overcame it. You know, overcame the slotting of WWE, which is even more impressive.
Yeah. Well, and especially when you could be a WCW guy.
Right.
It's sort of, in a way, I don't know, like Shingo Takagi.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like he came, you know, it's like he's not seen as a Dragon Gate guy. He's seen as just a guy. Mm-hmm. And now he's the IWGP World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, and I saw him, and I remember seeing him live at an FIP show in the middle of nowhere in Florida in front of 100 gosh. People with Dave Prazak managing him. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, the talent was, yeah, the talent's been there, though.
Oh, God, yeah. And shit, if he had you for a manager, he would have made it sooner.
Sure, okay.
We all know that.
Yeah, okay.
We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been a Triple Crown champion.
All right. Oh, come on. All right. I'm very happy for Shingo. Tremendously talented guy. Just, yeah. Oh, there we go. Okay.
What are we setting up here?
I think he's gonna go on the table.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Look at that crowd standing on its feet.
Mm. Of course, I was at that show, and I spent all my time during intermission chatting up Allison Danger. So,
the FIP show,
yeah, and I talked to Larry Sweeney. That was nice. Anyway, oh, here we go. Yeah, we can do that show one of these days. Don't think there are that many Larry Sweeney Colt Cabana matches out there. Oh, that's the bounce through the table. That's, you know, it's more impressive to have the table fold up, but that's, you know, that looks like it hurts more.
I think it does. Well,
it does, yeah, but
I think they try to redo it here in a second.
All right. Well, the crowd is definitely, I mean, the crowd's awake in a way that they really haven't been throughout most of the show. Yeah. Oh, no. That's what he wanted. There you go. Oh, those poor Spanish announcers never got to sit through an entire show.
No, it's not fair. People bleeding all over their table.
All right. There you go. Okay. All right. It's okay. This is it's good. The problem is, you know, you've seen like hundreds of WWE main event style matches over the years. So it's kind of, I mean, it you can tell when it's good, but it's kind of hard to surprise you anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Plus, they've decided not to go for the They've decided not to have, unlike the Judgment Day show, they decided not to have Eddie Guerrero nearly bleed to death. So that's out. But there, but yeah, I mean, you got a lot of good violence and impact, high impact stuff, and uh-oh. Almost there. Nope. There we go.
That's great there. And he's got to hang.
Flopping like, yeah. JBL flopping like a fish. Yeah, that's great. All right. There we go. That's what he needed. Oh, now we're going to whack him with the cowbell.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do. The cowbell's supposed to be a weapon.
Really going to need more cowbell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. Amazing to think. I'm glad we don't see chair shots, but it's like,
oh,
leading's there. Pretty safe, but
yeah,
I guess we're not going to see that anymore.
No, not going to see a lot of blading here in the future. At least you wouldn't think so.
I guess that's, I don't know.
Well,
I
mean, not in WWE anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I guess I saw it in Blood and Guts.
Dusty was probably proud of that shot. Got to use the cowbell. Got to get cowbell to the Rudy Toots, buddy.
So you can go to the pay window.
That's right. This is, and Cole said, this is what the championship is all about. Yes. Yes, the cowbell to the testicles. That's exactly what it's all about.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait for the next pay-per-view, Blood and Gonads.
There you go. Hmm. Hmm. Uno! Two.
Oh, sneaky heel.
Oh, that's true. Yes. Okay, here we go.
Uh-oh, they both have wolf.
They both have three, yeah.
Is JBL going to beat him?
You think there would be a rule against, you know, being able to do that? I don't know.
JBL going to beat him?
Yeah, all he has to do is touch the fourth turnbuckle.
He's so close.
All he has to do is use his weight. Oh, there we go. Nicely done. Oh, no. Already did it, or JBL did it?
Fans seem to think that Eddie Guerrero won.
Well, Nick Patrick raised his hand. Yep.
Eddie Guerrero retains the World Wrestling Federation Championship.
Yes.
World WWE Championship.
Right. Oh, no. Oh, Kurt Angle's here.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Right. What is Dr. X doing here?
I don't know.
Where's the rest of the X-Men?
I'm sure there's an X-Men who looks like Luther Reigns. There's like 100 of them. So.
Yeah. Luther Reigns looks like the Ultimate Warrior with short hair.
Yeah, he does, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so an authority figure is actually going to look at the replay of a match to determine if the right finish was made? That's crazy talk. Oh, no. JBL hit first.
JBL's shoulder.
You don't have to touch it with your hand? Nope. The rules say, nope.
Doesn't matter which part of your body.
Yep, that's right. Well, how did the ref miss that?
Because he's Nick Patrick.
Yeah, that's fair. Oh, yeah, fans. There we go. There we go. There's some angry fans.
And the beaten, bruised, and exhausted.
Give me the belt.
Wins the title.
Oh, no. JBL captures your WWE champions, yeah, title. And enters the pantheon of great champions, you know, Bruno Sammartino, Pedro Morales, Hulk Hogan,
Diesel.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, JBL.
Well, he's not in that pantheon. He wasn't a great drawing champion.
No, but I mean, nobody was in this era.
Right. You could enjoy him. Yeah. As far as if you think his act is good, that's great, but he's not a legendary champion or a major draw.
No, and then there's not a lot said about, you know, about JBL's reign in terms of all the great matches he had with him. But he did what he was supposed to do. He was the he was the bridge between Eddie getting the title and John Cena getting the title.
Right, you need to put it on a heel for the chase because that's where the money, that's where any money is. So it's like they needed a top heel. And he was there to answer it. So, I mean, it all.
I mean, it's fair. So,
And unlike Eddie, he didn't feel the pressure.
No, he didn't. I mean, and probably the big problem was, you know, they did the draft after WrestleMania 20, and they made it pretty obvious that, you know, SmackDown was the B show.
Yeah.
As much as Michael Cole and Taz would say otherwise, yeah. And Eddie didn't have the Eddie didn't have the heel challengers lined up.
No.
The best they could do was to heat up JBL and make him a singles guy. Yeah. Yep. People loved him.
God, they sold a lot of those belts.
Yeah.
A lot of belts in the
ground. All right. Well, let's get to the other half of the main event, Jim.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, good grief. Yeah. None of this makes sense. Just so you know.
Did they ever sell a Paul Bearer and cement action figure?
No. No, they didn't sell a concrete crypt playset.
Which
you think would be a natural?
Why not?
I don't know.
Well, I know why, but...
Yeah. So Paul Heyman gets the Dudley Boys to kidnap Paul Bearer and beat up The Undertaker.
Because he's feuding with The Undertaker.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Because they didn't have, you know, an actual wrestler, I guess, to do it.
Yeah. And because when I'm going to pay... What is the price tag for a pay-per-view? Is it 50 bucks?
I don't think it's 50 bucks yet, but it's...
Is it like 40?
Yeah, probably.
It's like 40, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't cheap.
It's like they're doing 20 of these. It's like, you got to give me more than this. But okay, here we are.
Okay. Exactly. Yes. Yeah, it's got to be, 40 bucks, I think, is right. Okay, so, yeah, he got, let's see. Yeah, he had the feud with Booker T, and then Heyman just kept sending guys after him.
you know, that's the thing. It's like, if you're going to be a wrestler, chances are that means at some point you're going to do embarrassing things.
Yes.
If you look at The Undertaker's career, he is no exception.
Okay. This was the, let's see. This wound up getting 238,000 buys, which was considered really, 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 really bad at the time. But that's okay because they would do lower buy rates than that for No Mercy and Taboo Tuesday and Armageddon. So yeah, there were still low points to hit. 2004. Will Paul Bearer be entombed in cement?
I mean, it's a nice try to think, God, we could do one show at $50 a month every month, or $40. I mean, $20 a year, almost every month. I mean, that's a nice thing to think.
Oh, here we go. WrestleNomics has the information. Yeah, $35.
$35, okay.
$35 for, so you're asking people to pay in 6 weeks, you're paying them $35 for Bad Blood, $35 for The Great American Bash, $35 for Vengeance. I don't know.
Same. Yeah. I mean, God, it's nice in theory, but in practice, it's just...
Yeah. It's just painful, yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, we're coming out of the pandemic, obviously.
Right.
Where a lot of companies weren't making the money they were making.
Yeah.
And now it's like for example, Disney is charging a lot for like its Halloween parties and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
Which I think Mrs. McNeil will be calling Mrs. Valley about that probably in a couple of years when
we're
old enough to take the kids to Disney World. Yeah.
Yeah, you got some time. You got some time.
Fortunately.
Hey, where are you in the pay-per-view?
Let's see. Dudleys are entering. Dudleys have made their entrance. They're posing. Paul Heyman is by the concrete truck holding the urn.
Okay, so we're in about six.
Yeah. Oh, he's got that's the lever. I don't know. Well, Paul, I mean, you know, Paul was there for the Chamber of Horrors. He knows how bad it can get.
You notice they never show Paul Bearer?
Right. Yes, they don't. And there's a good reason for that.
Yeah. Why is that, Pat?
They got Paul Bearer out before they ever put him in the live Paul Bearer. The people saw that Paul Bearer wasn't there.
Yeah, that's a stunt double.
Yeah.
The body you see in the glass case in long shots, that's not William Moody.
No, it's not.
God, how bad a shape you have to be a stunt double for Paul Bearer.
Well.
Yeah.
Good point.
God,
but the point is nobody got buried in concrete, and the people there, you know, and the people there in the arena knew it, and you know, you can't really fake the horror struck reaction when everybody knows it didn't happen.
Yeah. Undertaker looks cool. It's a cool entrance.
Oh yeah, entrance is nothing wrong with the entrance. You know, there's nothing more all-American than a whole lot of scaffolding and really tall American flags.
Yes.
Okay, so what will the Undertaker do? Will he... will he let Paul Bearer be murdered? Or will he join? This doesn't make sense. What were they thinking? Good grief.
So I wonder, it's like, how high were these people?
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't good. Well, I mean, and, you know, you obviously had the stuff going. You obviously had the stuff in the wrestling newsletters from people who were not Vince McMahon explaining, this is all Vince's idea. We all tried to talk. We're all been trying to talk him out of it, but he wants to do the concrete crypt. Okay. Yeah. Okay, the other question is, obviously, the tag titles are not on the line for whatever reason. So what's the point of having the Dudleys beat the Undertaker? And really, if the Undertaker beats the tag team champions by himself, shouldn't he have the tag title belts? I mean, it worked for Braun Strowman.
Yeah, what does it say about your tag team titles?
Yeah.
This is just, I don't know, this is dumb.
Yes. Right thing. Okay.
The Undertaker.
Right. Here's the demonstration. Yeah, he's not in. Paul Bearer is not in any of the shots. So. Huh. Right.
They do a tight shot on Paul Bearer, so it's like you don't see the rest of the arena. They did this earlier, obviously.
Right. Okay, so yeah. So the idea is Paul Bearer wants the fans to pay their $35 to watch Undertaker lay down for the Dudleys. Yes, this makes a world of sense. Yep. What will the Undertaker do? Well, let's see. The Undertaker would probably head out of the arena, beat up Paul Bearer, and Paul Heyman and free Paul Bearer.
Yeah, maybe call Kane and have him smash the glass.
Maybe call some lightning down from the skies to wipe out the Dudleys. Yeah,
that too. Katie Vick, maybe his older brother. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, there's obviously nobody else in the company who doesn't like the Dudleys and Paul Heyman. So,
and baby faces have no friends.
That's right. There we go. He's gonna lay down. So he's gonna lay down. Show's over, everybody.
Maybe
he'll drive safely.
Undertaker could get one of his wives. Come on, do that. Where's Sarah? I mean, geez, he's got his freaking her name on his deck. Come on, Sarah.
Yeah. Sarah, get out of here.
Get off your ass and help your husband
out.
What
are you doing?
About ready to kill his dad or whoever that.
Well, yeah, I guess. I don't know.
King's dad, whoever's dad. I don't know.
No, I don't think. But, you know, I have a hard time buying that Bubba's been waiting for this moment his whole life. Oh my goodness, he's got both Dudleys. I mean, there are several problems with this, but my main problems with this is it was stupid. It took too long, and they made it the main event.
I mean, it's like, I mean, you get a Hell in a Cell match going, oh, we're going to see a cool fight, or blood and guts. You're going to see a cool fight. It's like,
no.
Do people think that they want to see someone get murdered?
You're going to see a man get murdered by a cement truck.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I don't know.
I mean, you couldn't have at least got James Gandolfini, you know, but like,
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Hey.
Soprano's hot in 2004.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
You're going to break yet another announce table?
Mm-hmm. You could. Yeah, why is an Undertaker walking out of the match and like telling him, hey, screw you, pal. Yeah.
You know, the Undertaker's a legend, don't get me wrong, but you could create a video showing all the bad matches and all the stupid stuff they've had the Undertaker do, and show it to somebody, and they'd go, who is that guy?
Right.
He's the worst.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could create a 3-volume DVD set of all the bad stuff, of all the dumb stuff they've had Undertaker do.
Yeah. This might be
damn you, Paul Heyman! Yeah. Right.
Is he mic'd? Paul Bear's mic'd too?
Yeah, well, yeah, he is.
So the AV people also, all the media, they connected Paul before they put him.
Right. Well, yeah, well, I mean, he's not, unlike Paul Heyman, his mic is not wired to the arena. It's just something that you can hear over TV. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, something like this, which isn't really a match, that also bothers me.
Remember when Letterman used to all the wacky things like...
Yes.
Get into vats of various things.
Right. You get the, let's see. Throwing things off of buildings. Yeah.
Well, I remember they did the thing where you had the suit of Alka-Seltzer. Do you know this story?
Oh, yeah.
And they tested it out beforehand, and he almost passed out, or whoever tested him, because Alka-Seltzer takes the oxygen out of the air.
Yeah, the fumes, yeah.
That's why it fizzes. So when Letterman finally did it, they had to put him in an oxygen tank, like a regulator.
Right.
And they did it on camera.
Ah, the good old days.
Yeah, and Letterman was funny.
Yes, I know.
It was a long time ago. Sadly.
Oh, when late night talk shows were funny. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. It's over. Show's over, kid. Oh, yes. I hate you, Paul. Yeah, he's obviously inside a case.
Sort of like the Ultimate Warrior and the Cobra.
Yep, there we go. Bubba Dudley stops it. Oh my goodness. Okay. Oh wow. Not a shot of William Moody. I don't know what the fans are chanting, but it doesn't, probably isn't good.
I don't understand. It's like, okay, if you're cheering for the Undertaker, I don't know, then you're, I don't know. There's just, what are you rooting for?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The fans are booing.
What did you expect? Of course, they probably bought the tickets before the pay-per-view was announced.
Well, yeah. But I have a feeling that they're booing because they saw the stuntman, you know, get pulled out of there. The stunt double, yeah. Because something like that happened, and that's, you know.
You can tell by the front row that they're really, you can tell by the gravity of the situation.
Oh, yeah, they're really, yeah. They're really, really concerned. Two! Yeah, there's no, this sucks. I mean, it almost sucks worse than the WCW Uncensored Triple Cage 8-on-2 match.
It's not a good match, and it's not, I mean, it's nothing.
It's not, it's not much of a match at all, really.
No, it's not a match.
Oh, there we go. There's somebody in the background.
Not Paul Bear, but yeah, it's somebody.
Oh my goodness. No, not that. Not the heavy wooden board, really?
Yeah, not the board that has a lot of flexibility to it.
Yeah, not that. Anything but that.
Not plywood or...
No, not the plywood.
Whatever material it is.
All right.
Yeah. This is the show that your parents walk in on you on. Or your roommates who don't watch wrestling.
Like, what's this? Nothing. Yeah. Well, no, because you wouldn't order this show. Unless you're recapping it for a wrestling newsletter. Actually, I think I watched this at Hooters with a bunch of people who were just equally as thrilled about this match as I was. It's just like, is this?
And the waitress is probably rolling their eyes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's wrestling fans going, hey, can you turn on that Yankees game? Yeah, turn the volume up on that. Oh, there we go.
This match was so bad, I started eating the wings.
Yeah, boom, boom. Oh, yeah, the breaded wings. That just, no.
Yeah, I got wings. I know. I went to Hooters.
Yeah.
I've been to Hooters literally, I think, twice in my life. No more than three times. And literally each time I've gotten sick, I can't explain.
Well, don't get the bread. You can't get the breading on the wings. Look.
I don't know. I guess not.
No. Yeah, order something else. All right. And there we go. Okay. Well, let's see. Yeah, this is a match where somebody's about to get put in concrete, but we have Bubba in the corner, waiting for the tag because there's rules to this, obviously.
Well, yeah, you don't want to cheat while the guy's yeah. life is on the line. You know?
Right. There we go. Hey, yeah. And John Cone's in there. Hey, you know, you got to tag in, man. Oh, no. Okay. I think the referee's lost control of this one, Jim.
I think so.
Old school. Yay. Yes, but think of how memorable it will be if The Undertaker overcomes the Dudleys and, well, actually, nobody remembers this.
I forgot about this completely.
Yes, lucky you.
So as you're watching this, do you think you were too easy on this pay-per-view?
Maybe. On this match, and I don't want to blame Undertaker or the Dudleys or Paul Heyman. They're doing their jobs, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a no-win situation.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, there we go.
I don't understand. If the urn controls the Undertaker's power, shouldn't...
Why wouldn't it control them now?
Yeah, shouldn't that have some... Or does it need to be Paul Bearer?
Yeah.
Or no?
I think it needs to be... I don't know. They didn't make any sense. They didn't explain it. There we go. Tombstone. All right. Cover that, man. Count of three. There we go. Okay. Match is over. Undertaker wins. He beat the Dudleys. He's the tag team champions. He needs to get a 10-year-old kid to be his partner.
Here we go. Where's Nicholas when you need him?
I know. I thought we had an arrangement. Oh, okay. Well. Okay. Okay.
He's holding the urn upside down, and that bothers
No. Oops. Lightning. Lightning did not strike Paul Heyman, but I guess it struck somewhere.
Well, there he is using his powers.
Mm-hmm. It's power of mind control.
You can tell the crowd's really into it.
Yeah. This is stupid. Clap, 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 clap. What? Okay, so Undertaker's won.
And now in a Vince Russo-esque swerve.
Yeah. No, Vince Russo's sitting there going, man, that was dumb. You know, they'd never expect, yeah. Okay, so Undertaker saves his friend, saves his manager with a lightning bolt, as one does.
Yes, always.
Save me. Okay. Yeah. I have no other choice.
You know, he could put him up in a safe house somewhere.
Yeah.
And hide him somewhere.
Yes. You could, you know, let him out.
Yeah.
You could, you know, not kill him, I guess. Mm-hmm. Of course, the fans are having to watch us on the big screen because... Okay, good night, everybody. Don't forget to tune into SmackDown on Friday. Oh, that's just horrible. I'm sorry. It's just really, really, really awful. Okay. All right, who wants more wings?
All righty then.
Board of Wrestling Podcast, we still want a little bit of wrestling talk? Well, It's Usually Hello is the show for you. We've got music debates, we've got comedy bits, we have some wrestling talk, we've got watch-alongs, we've got actual celebrity guests. Check out It's Usually Hello, the podcast, on YouTube and on iTunes, and all your best podcast and listening devices. It is, without a doubt, the funniest show in the history of podcasting, allegedly. And that's not just my opinion, that's also the fake opinions of the fantasy people that I see 24/7. Don't forget to leave the 5-star review, because there's only so many fake accounts one person can make.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
Yes. Okay. So after this, I really crapped on this show, but I only crapped on it the fifth most out of the members of the Torch staff. Let's see. This was without question This was without question the worst pay-per-view WWE has held since they changed their name from the World Wrestling Federation, which wasn't all that long prior to that. Let's see. If WWE had taped, let's see. I can't remember the last time this company put together three matches in a row as awful as the Kenzo Suzuki, Torrey Wilson, Mordecai trifecta we saw tonight. If WWE had taped these matches for SmackDown, none of them would have made the air, which I think is a fair statement. Let's see. The promotion, at least the SmackDown side of it, is rudderless, and the blame lies with Vince McMahon. Let's see, blah, 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 blah. Wrestling fans and the potential WWE stockholders should hang on to their money.
Sounds familiar.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, it does. I said that sort of thing a lot. Okay, so what happened next? Well, let's see. WWF on Monday, SmackDown brand, went on to do their house show in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. On that show, the U.S. champion John Cena defeated Booker T. And in the main event, Eddie Guerrero and Undertaker teamed up to defeat JBL and the Dudley Boys in a handicap match when Undertaker pinned Bradshaw. So that was good. WWE Raw was in, Raw took place, live in Richmond, Virginia. Before the show, Carlito got his tryout match, losing to Hurricane Helms. They taped Sunday Night Heat with headlined by Victoria defeating Gail Kim. And on Raw, it was Triple H beating William Regal by disqualification when guest referee Eugene caught Regal with the brass knucks. And in the main event, WWE World Champion Chris Benoit defeated Kane by submission when Lita hit Kane with a low blow. So, which all that is available, I believe, on WWE Network and indeed on Peacock. NWA TNA did their 100th pay-per-view on Wednesday, June the 30th. On that show, it was Andy Douglas and Chase Stevens beating America's Most Wanted. And in the main event, it was a six-way X Division title match. Champion AJ Styles pins Amazing Red and therefore gets the win. Other people in the match were Kazarian, Chris Sabin, Michael Shane, and Elix Skipper. Wasn't that great? That was fun. 2004, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Well, Jim, I don't know how we're going to top that.
Anything?
Okay, yeah, anything will do. As a matter of fact, it is time to pick out another show.
Yeah, we can't get any worse than that.
Anyway, isn't that convenient? Okay, well, we could try, but I'd rather not try if it's okay with you.
Let's do it.
Yeah, okay, let's pick out something for Father's. I'm looking through the list of listener submissions and stuff. Some of these aren't available. I don't feel like doing Heroes of Wrestling at this time. Let's see. We've got, let's see. I know it's summer. We've got...
Yeah. We haven't done Heroes of Wrestling.
What's that? We haven't done Heroes of Wrestling, no. I'm going to go ahead. Okay, here's one that a intrepid listener put in. We have NXT In Your House coming up tonight. So since a listener has requested the first In Your House pay-per-view, I think we can do that. It's Bret Hart versus Akushi, and I want to say Diesel versus Sid. That's, what is it, May 1995? Let me go back and pull that up. But yeah, first In Your House number one. Let's go ahead and mark that one down on the list as the listener submission for this go-round. Would you like to go next, sir?
Sure.
Okay.
I should have recommended this last time, but I didn't think about it.
Okay.
I'm going to do the other five-star match from 1986.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to pick NWA Battle of the Belts number two from Florida, with the main event being Ric Flair taking on Prime Barry Windham.
I like
in
it.
That five-star match.
Okay, I like it.
Also on the show, a six-man tag, the Road Warriors and Blackjack Mulligan take on Kevin Sullivan and his army, his Satanic Army.
Good.
Plus a Southern Heavyweight title match, Lex Luger and Jesse Barr, Florida match with Kendall Windham and Prince Iaukea and Tyree Pride, some other people, all the Florida regulars. So I'm going to pick Battle of the Belts 2.
Well, we've done Battle of the Belts 1. It's there in the archive. So, yeah, why not Battle of the Belts 2? Available on YouTube. Everybody can watch it. It'll be fun. Okay, I was thinking, you know, next week is Father's Day, either Father's Day or some cage match since it's Hell in the Cell month in WWE. I settled on Father's Day. So what's the most famous Father's Day show that you know? Yeah, that's kind of what I don't know what a famous Father's Day show is, but I do remember that the WCW did the Great American Bash in 1995 on Father's Day. And it was headlined by Randy Savage versus Ric Flair with Angelo Poffo in Randy's corner after Poffo got disrespected by Ric Flair at the Slamboree 95 show. So that's, yeah, Savage and Flair is the main event. Underneath the finals of the U.S. title tournament with Sting taking on the Monster Ming, or Haku, or whatever you want to call him. And various other big matches on that show. That is Great American Bash 1995, Dayton, Ohio. I believe the tag titles are up for grabs. Arn Anderson defends the TV title against Renegade. Brian Pillman versus Alex Wright. You know, all the classics. Yeah.
You had me at Renegade.
That's right. So yeah, let's go ahead and put that down. We need a WCW entry, so Great American Bash 95. And you know what that leaves, Jim? I've got a
randomizer.
The randomizer, yes, you know it, you love it. Well, some months you love it, some months you don't love it. But we've got a whole lot of stuff on this wheel, and I just feel like we should give it a big spin. So we'll give the wheel a big spin. There we go. And around and around it goes. We have ECW Hardcore TV. We have All-Star Wrestling, Mid-South Wrestling, WCW Saturday Night, and we stop at, oh, Jim, guess what? We've landed on one of your favorite shows, and mine, and everybody else's. That's right. It's WWE Monday Night Raw. And it's Raw from the year 2005. What could be more exciting than that? Well, let's find out. Okay, the specific Raw from the year 2005 is, let me look here. Oh, geez. Oh, June 2005. Wait, we even stay in the same month. So it is, let's see, I pulled it up. Oh, crap, where is it? Yeah, there it is. Okay, it is June 9th, 2005. Yeah, that sounds right. Okay. On the June 9th, 2005 episode of Raw, excuse me, May 9th, 2005 episode of Raw, your big matches were Chris Benoit taking on Kane, and in the main event, Jim, Shawn Michaels versus Edge. Something you don't see every day, so.
Sounds great.
Yep, it's something. So we have a Raw, we have a we have a Bash, we have a Battle of the Belts, and we have an In Your House. That's those are definitely four choices. And none of those choices are Great American Bash 2004.
None of them are, thankfully. Yes, all of them are probably an upgrade.
Yeah, and we'll have a guest host, but Jim will be back for hour two of whatever is picked. And that's what we'll be looking forward to, having Jim back to join us with us. Visit us over on Twitter. I am at Real Pat McNeil. He is at Jim Valley. And by all means, please leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us over on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Tune in or wherever your pods are cast. There's like a bunch of other apps that you can find us on. It's really not that difficult to find podcasts nowadays. Matter of fact, you could throw a handful of grape nuts and hit three podcasters.
It's true.
Yes. Try it. Try it at home. See if it works.
Particularly with the grape nuts, because they're old people.
That's right. And if you'd like to know more about JBL, Eddie Guerrero, Paul Heyman, The Undertaker, or the Dudley Boys, you can go ahead and visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, the Wrestling Observer, or you can go ahead and download your local library app, because they're all in books, Jim.
Alrighty, well, we'll see what people want to choose. We got some great choices from the 80s, 90s, and we have over 2005, yeah. So we got quite a three decades of choices for the next time. Way back playback. Same way back time. Same playback channel.
And Jim, you have a safe trip and a great birthday, and we'll find we'll either pull something from the patron stuff, or we'll just bring in a guest host. One way or the other, we'll expect to have a great episode for you and Dad to sit down and enjoy next week. Looking forward to getting up to our 7th anniversary. And we'll start season 8 on Labor Day weekend, Jim, with episode 365. So start thinking about that. Until then, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.